It is good to be here with you all this morning. Susan and I look forward to our ministry together, and thank you for being so hospitable to us and friendly. And we're just excited about what God's going to do in the days ahead as we labor together. And as we plan and work and labor together, I've got two prayer requests I want to make of you. One of them is, first of all, you saw the slides of Vacation Bible School. I'm big on Vacation Bible School, okay? So I'm not asking you if you'll take your vacation. I'm asking this. I want you to begin to pray now and ask God where He wants you to serve in Bible school. And if you're not sure, just call someone that's active in Bible school and they'll again reiterate the various places of ministry. This is one of the biggest outreach ministries in the life of any church. More families are touched, more people come to Christ because of Vacation Bible School. So I want to encourage you, get excited about Bible school and ask God where He wants you to serve. The second request I have is I want you to go home sometime today and look up 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10, and pray that prayer for me. It's where God asked Solomon, "What would you like for me to give you?" Solomon could have asked for anything, and he asked simply for wisdom and knowledge that he might lead the people. And I covet your prayers that God will give to me that same wisdom and knowledge, that as we work together for whatever time period God has, that I'll have the wisdom and knowledge to lead you in the way of righteousness and truth and accordance to God's plan for First Baptist Church Fairleigh. With that said, let's pray together and let's turn our hearts to the Word of God. Father, in the moments we've been here already, we have been blessed beyond measure. We have been challenged with Bible school. We've been challenged with the messages and song. We've been reminded of the fact that we're celebrating the Advent season, a time when we come together and we literally celebrate the birth of Jesus. And God, in these moments, we continue. And I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to all that which you would have us to know and understand. I pray that your word would find lodging in our hearts. And as already has been prayed, I ask, oh God, if there's somebody here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, that they would come to know Him this morning and realize that out of all of the things they might receive this holiday season, nothing will be any greater than the gift of Jesus. And so, God, I pray that you would just touch hearts and lives and change us all to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Within the pages of Scripture, particularly the New Testament, there are three great announcements that were made. Announcements that really we need to keep in our minds because they're exciting, they're tremendous, they're life-changing announcements. The first one is the one we're going to look at this morning, and it's found in Luke chapter 2 if you want to turn in your Bibles there, but it's the announcement of the birth of Jesus, God's Son. The second one comes at the end of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And that's where the angel proclaims when those people come to the grave, to the tomb where Jesus had been laid. It's there that they come looking to find Jesus that they might further anoint His body and prepare it for His continued being buried, only to discover that they are met with this message, "He is risen." And that's the glory of the Christian faith is we sing that hymn, "I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today." Because we have a God who's alive and well, and we have a Savior that is there interceding on our behalf as we come to Him by faith. But then the third announcement you find in the book of Acts, the first chapter, and that's where Jesus is meeting for the last time with His disciples, and He tells them that they're to tarry in Jerusalem until they receive the promised gift of the Father. And then He gives them the Great Commission. And when He gives them that Great Commission, all of a sudden He's taken up in a cloud into heaven. And an angel comes and finds the disciples, those apostles, looking up into heaven. And I can just imagine their mouths are wide open, gawking at what they're seeing, because never had they seen a man taken up in the clouds. And as they're standing there gazing and gawking, the angel says to them, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you see taken is going to come again in like manner." And he gives us the glorious and exciting news for those of us who are believers walking the earth today, that someday, maybe even in our lifetime, and I'll be honest with you, as I look at the world situation today, I'm not so sure, but what I may be walking the earth when all of a sudden we who are believers in Christ are just lifted up to meet him in the clouds, to receive our glorified bodies. Now, if that doesn't excite you, my friend, I don't know much else that will excite you. Because that's what we long for, and that's what we look for. These three great announcements. So let's look today at the first one we find in Luke, which talks about the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Luke chapter 2, I want to pick up with verse 8. And it says there, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad that saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that they heard, and all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." As you look at this passage of Scripture, it's interesting to me to read and really focus in on what the Bible says about the announcement of the birth of Jesus. I'd be honest with you to say that as I have lived through the years, that a lot of people come to the birth of Christ and they really gloss over what happened out there with the shepherds. So we want to focus a little more this morning on the announcement, and we'll deal later on with the birth. But when you look at the announcement, as I read this passage and I thought about it, I thought, how interesting it is. God now intervening in the course of human history in a supernatural, miraculous way by giving us His Son, born of a woman, but conceived by His Spirit. He is to become King of kings and Lord of lords. And yet when I read this passage, what I discover is that such announcement should have been made in Jerusalem. It's the city of God. It's the capital of Judea. It should have been made there in the temple where God dwelt. Why in the world would God intervene in such a way to bring in such a significant being and announce it in the fields? Last week, when I got up and looked out over the fields behind the motel, there was a house there, yes, but for the most part, there was just the countryside, the beautiful farmland. And I stood in the window and gazed and looked at that farmland and tried to picture in my mind a sheepfold with some sheep in it, and maybe four to a half a dozen shepherds that had responsibility for all those sheep out there in that field. And I thought, why? Why on earth would God choose to announce the birth of His Son in such a desolate place to such few people? I mean, I'm accustomed in our day that when there's a special announcement, it's made on TV, it's put on radio, and I mean, they play it up real big, and usually you have all of the dignitaries you can round up there to observe and be a part of that. But God chose the fields outside of Bethlehem to make the announcement. In addition to that, I marveled at the people to whom the announcement was made. The announcement was made to some shepherds. Now let me remind you of this. The shepherds in the day in which Jesus lived, particularly these shepherds which were temple shepherds. In other words, the sheep that they were responsible for were the sheep that would be offered in the temple for the sacrifices. They had to be watched over and protected. They were to be unblemished animals. But it was to these shepherds, and as far as the Orthodox Jews were concerned, these men were some of the most unclean men you could be around. Not only could they not practice good hygiene, but particularly when it came to eating and things, they couldn't observe the washing rituals that the religious leaders had put together over the years that a good Jew would observe before they would eat or do this or do that. They couldn't go and worship in the temple very often because their assignment was in the fields watching the sheep. And so here it is that God, intervening in history, chooses this isolated, desolated field outside of Bethlehem and comes to speak to some dirty shepherds sitting around the campfire, waiting for time to pass. Some of them would sleep while some guarded, then they would rotate. And it's to these men that He spoke. And I pondered that, and I pondered that, until I allowed my eyes to really look at the text that we read. And if you look down at that text and see what it says in that text tells us that this was an announcement in verse 10, which shall be to all people. In other words, if God would have gone to the temple and announced the birth of Jesus, only the religious leaders would have thought this was for them. The other problem is they wouldn't have believed it anyhow because they didn't believe much of anything God said. But God wanted it understood that the birth of Jesus was His sending a Savior into the world, not to appease and satisfy and save the elite, the rich, the knowledgeable. But He was sending His Son for even the lowest outcast you could find on the face of the earth because He wanted it to be known that whosoever will may come. He wanted to have a Savior that the world would accept. So He came to these shepherds. I can just in my mind picture the scene now. Here are the shepherds sitting around the campfire. The sheep are safely in the fold. The fire's starting to get a little dim, and so one of the shepherds picks up another piece of firewood and prods the fire and then throws that piece of wood on. And when he does, the fire begins to brighten up more. But all of a sudden, instead of just brightening up a little bit, the whole sky lights up. I mean, they've never seen anything, and the Bible tells us they were sore afraid. Now, let me pause to interject a little humor here. When I was a kid growing up, I kept trying to get my dad to tell me exactly why they were so sore. you know. And he had a hard time trying to help me understand that that word sore meant just being more than hurt. But they were terrified. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If I was out just walking around in a field somewhere and all of a sudden the sky lit up, I'd be pretty nervous. And they were afraid. And yet, in the midst of their fear, God's angel spoke. And the first thing he told them was this, don't be afraid, fear not. For lo, I bring you what? A message of good news, which shall be unto all people. You see, the personage of the message, the one who delivered the message, was not somebody from the temple. It wasn't somebody from even Bethlehem. It wasn't a human being. The personage was one of God's chosen beings, angelic beings, heavenly beings. And he came and miraculously appeared before them. You see, if you look at the three announcements I mentioned, the great announcements, all of them were delivered by an angel. God's wonderful, unique, heavenly servants delivering the Word of God to man. And so he says, when you see the message here, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He's basically saying, he's here. All of their life they grew up knowing and being taught that one day God would send a Savior. The only problem was for most Jews, they thought it would be an earthly Savior who would come and raise up Israel and make it a great nation here on earth. That's going to come someday, but that wasn't God's plan at this time. You see, he was sending a Savior that would save us from our sins and give us everlasting life. And so he declared, the birth had now occurred. Jesus was born. For the Lord himself, Isaiah said, shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And so the angel declared that now God was with us. The baby had been born. Listen to me, there's so much in the announcement that literally captures a heart that wants to hear and sense the very presence of God. And that's what I hope we understand in this Christmas season. I told the deacons when they interviewed me about the possibility of coming as interim, that during the month of December, the focus was going to be on the birth of Jesus. We've been robbed of that for the last year. Christmas wasn't the same last year. The focus needs to be, must be, on Jesus because he is our answer. And so the shepherds heard the good news. And I want you to notice their reaction. I told you a moment ago, the first reaction they had was one of fear. They were afraid. And you know, even today I find there are a lot of people that when you start talking to them about Jesus, their reaction is one of fear. They've been told so many false things by the world out there, and it's getting heavier and heavier in the media dimensions about how horrible Christianity is and what a joke it is for somebody to think they can believe in a Savior, Jesus Christ. That they're afraid. They're afraid that if they get to know Jesus, that their friends are going to turn on them and things are going to go sour. There's a degree of fear in coming to Jesus nowadays. But then on the other hand, the Bible tells us that curiosity set in. For when the angels had left, for you see, once the angel made known the message, he was joined by a multitude, we don't know how many, of other angels praising God and glorifying God. And then they disappeared. And here were these shepherds still around the fire. And they began to say, man, what a mess. We need to go find out about this. We need to check this out. And so they decided that out of that curiosity, they would make the journey to Bethlehem. And leaving their sheep, off they went to Bethlehem. Now when they got to Bethlehem, they didn't know where Jesus was. I'm sure when they first got into Bethlehem, they were asking a lot of people, because let me remind you, Bethlehem was overflowed with people because of the edict of Augusta that they returned to their hometown and be registered for taxation. And so the community was just jammed with people, so much so that Joseph and Mary could not even find a room for her to stay in and have the baby. And finally, I think they made it to the inn where Joseph and Mary finally convinced the owner, have you got anywhere we can stay? And he said, well, I've got a stable. And so when the shepherds find this innkeeper, he says, well, I tell you what, I don't know whether they took me up on it, but if you want to go check the stable, you might find him out there. So the shepherds went around and they found him. Just as the angel had said, he was with his mother and father, earthly father, and he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. I would have loved to have seen their faces when they beheld the Savior for the first time. For you see, as I study the Scriptures, I'm convinced that when these men went into that stable and saw the Christ child, the Spirit of God just brought conviction upon them that truly this was the promised Messiah. And they worshiped Him. And they began to praise Him. You know, when I read passages like this, sometimes I think, maybe we Baptists need to unbutton our ties and stuff and get a little more excited. I know Jeff would love it if we'd get a lot more excited when we sing. Why don't we get excited when we sing? You say, well, I can't sing, preacher. Good, you can join a chorus of multitudes of others, but the Bible didn't say make a perfect noise to the Lord. It said make a joyful noise. And if your neighbor doesn't like it, they can move somewhere else. It's all right. I mean, those guys, I'm not sure those shepherds could sing like the two we had sing today. But boy, they were praising God. They were praising God. For you see, when they made the journey to where He was, and found Him for themselves, I think they came to believe in Him and received Him and recognized Him as God's only Son, their Savior. And when they left town, listen to me, it was during the night. Now back in those days, they didn't have electric lights, they didn't have TVs, they didn't have radios to keep them up all through the night. It reminds me of when I was a kid and would go to my grandparents in Alabama. And about time it got dark, my mother would start saying, okay, kids, time to get ready for bed. Mom, it's only 8 o'clock. That's all right, it's dark. Some of you remember those days when staying up till 9 o'clock was staying up late. So here they are leaving town and they are making a ruckus. Why? They're shouting and singing and praising God. What would happen if when this service was over, We all got in our cars and just started down the road with our windows down, singing and shouting and praising God. Somebody might call the police. No telling. Some of them would think like they did the early apostles on the day of Pentecost. We're drunk. My answer would be, yeah, we're drunk on the Holy Spirit. But my point is, folks, we're too silent. We need to become more expressive in sharing our faith. Because there are people like these shepherds that need the Savior. And they responded to Him and received Him. This morning, I don't know where you are in your relationship with God and with Jesus. It may be you're here and you've really accepted Him, but for some reason you're just not on fire for Him. You just don't have that relationship that you need. Would you ask God to forgive you? And would you ask God to allow His Holy Spirit to come alive in you? And say, God, I want to be like the shepherds. I want to shout and shine for Jesus. When our oldest daughter was little, we'd go into a restaurant for lunch or dinner. And I'd got tired of tables around me having people sitting there and be honest with you, some of them using all kinds of bad language and stuff like that. And so I'd call on my daughter to bless our food. Now, I got to confess that I had a really ulterior motive for that. You see, if you ask my daughter to speak quietly, she would look at you and say, "Okay, Dad, quiet enough." And so when she would pray, everybody in that restaurant heard her. And you'd be surprised how language toned down, how things changed. You're here and you need to become a more vibrant follower. Ask God to do that. But if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus, you've heard of Him, but you personally do not know Him, I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to make a journey. In a moment, we're going to sing "Away in a Manger." And if you're here without Christ, I'm going to ask you to make a journey down the aisle. I'll be down here at the front. And I'll be willing to talk to you and tell you as much as I can about Jesus. I'll open up the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit eliminate the truth of the Word and show you why. The greatest thing you'll do today, the greatest thing you'll do at Christmas, the greatest thing you'll do in your life is receive this Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Don't leave here without Him. Would you do it? So, Father, in these moments as we come towards the end of this service, we've come to a critical point in the service. We're having heard Your Word, God. We're asked to respond. And Lord, I pray for those Christians that need to become more vibrant in their faith, that You would just through Your Spirit empower them and challenge them and encourage them. I pray if there's someone here that needs a church home, they'll come and unite with First Baptist. And I pray, Father, for those without Christ, may they at least make the journey and discover what they need to know about Jesus before they just walk out and say a flat out no. So, Lord, Your Holy Spirit's at work. You move and You draw us to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.